This is VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Mario Ritter Jr. and Brian Lynn. Later, Katie Weaver and Ashley will present the next part in our series on America's national parks. But first, births in the United States increased by 1% last year. However, the number of babies born in 2021 was still lower than before the coronavirus pandemic. In 2020, the U.S. had its largest one-year drop in births in nearly 50 years. But a recent government report states there were still about 86,000 fewer births last year than in 2019. Dr. Denise Jameson is head of gynecology and obstetrics at Emory University School of Medicine. She said, "We're still not returning to pre-pandemic levels." U.S. births had been decreasing for more than 10 years before COVID-19 hit, and I would expect that we would continue to see small decreases, she added. Deliveries were lower in January 2021, but improved as the year went on, said Brady Hamilton. He is with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the lead writer of the new report. He noted that much of the increase was seen in older mothers. The report is based on an examination of almost all birth certificates issued last year. Almost 3.7 million births were reported last year. That is up from the nearly 3.6 million births recorded in 2020. Births among 13 to 25-year-olds were down in 2021. But births increased 3% among women in their early 30s and early 40s. The year also saw a 5% increase in babies born to women in their late 30s. The U.S. was once one of only a few developed countries with a birth rate that guaranteed each generation had enough children to replace itself. That rate was about 2.1 children for each woman. But that number has been decreasing in recent years. In 2020, it dropped to about 1.6, the lowest rate on record. It rose slightly last year to nearly 1.7.
Memorial Day is a national holiday observed in the United States on the last Monday in May. This year, Memorial Day falls on May 30th. It is a day when Americans honor the men and women who have died fighting in America's wars. For most Americans, it also marks the unofficial start of summer. It is a popular weekend for vacationing. Even with rising gas prices, the American Automobile Association expects as many as 39 million Americans to travel this year for Memorial Day weekend. Many will head to the nearest bodies of water or beaches.
In the American state of Delaware, People often call the beach town of Rehoboth the nation's summer capital. Many people who live in Washington, D.C., the nation's actual capital, spend time along their beaches. The town also happens to be a favorite summer getaway spot for U.S. President Joe Biden, who is from Delaware. This week, officials in Rehoboth and the nearby towns of Lewis, Dewey, and Bethany have had to do a lot to help repair the summer capital and prepare for visitors. Just days before Memorial Day, the Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, DNREC, was still working to repair beaches that were damaged by strong storms in early May. Secretary Sean M. Garvin of the DNREC said, "We're working on making the state's beaches accessible and in shape for the summer."
Back in the nation's capital, Memorial Day traditions include the observance at Arlington National Cemetery. It is the most famous burial place in America. Before the pandemic, more than 4 million people visited the cemetery every year. The tradition began on May 30, 1868, when flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers in the cemetery. It was called Decoration Day back then. Since 1948, on the Thursday before Memorial Day, soldiers from the 3rd U.S. Infantry, the Old Guard, have placed small American flags in front of every headstone in the cemetery. Lines of simple white headstones mark the soldiers' graves. But the 80-hectare cemetery also serves as a burial place for people of national and historical importance. Two presidents are buried there, William Howard Taft and John F. Kennedy. Other well-known people buried at the cemetery include world champion boxer Joe Louis, North Pole explorer Robert E. Peary, and the seven astronauts who died in the Space Shuttle Challenger explosion. Nearly 4,000 former slaves are also buried at Arlington National Cemetery. One of them is James Parks. He dug the first graves in the cemetery.
The best-known memorial in the nation's capital, however, is the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, which opened in 1982. In 1980, a group of former soldiers announced a competition to design a memorial. The winner was Maya Lin, a 21-year-old student at Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut. Lin designed a memorial formed by two walls of black stone about 76 meters long. The walls meet to form a V. The names of more than 58,000 Americans killed or declared missing in action are cut into the stone. Almost any time of day, you can see people looking for the name of a family member or friend who died in the war. Once they find the name, many rub a pencil on paper over the letters to copy it. Many people leave remembrances at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. After the success of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, Congress approved a memorial to the Korean War veterans, which opened in July of 1995. The Korean War lasted from 1950 to 1953. The memorial honors those who died. It also honors those who survived.
One of the lesser-known memorials on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., is often called the Temple. The round stone structure honors people from the District of Columbia who died in World War I. The war was fought from 1914 to 1918. Between the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument on the National Mall is the World War II Memorial. The U.S. entered the war after Japan bombed the Navy base at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, on December 7, 1941. 16 million men and women who served in the American military between 1941 and 1945. More than 400,000 died. The World War II Memorial is built of bronze and granite. In the center, at ground level, is a round pool of water. When the sun is just right, rainbows of color dance in the air. 56 stone pillars rise around the pool. They represent each of the American states and territories, plus the District of Columbia, at the time of the war. There are not yet memorials for soldiers who died in America's most recent wars, in Iraq and Afghanistan. The soldiers are buried in Section 60 of Arlington Cemetery. The section is often called the saddest place in America. On Memorial Day, Americans will stop for 1 minute at 3 o'clock local time for the national moment of remembrance to honor the soldiers who have died in service to the country, no matter what wars they served in. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr.
Researchers say they have discovered a chemical found in sea corals that could be effective in treating cancer. Scientists had been searching for the compound for more than 25 years after early studies in the 1990s suggested it could slow cancer cell growth. A researcher finally discovered the substance in a common kind of soft coral off the coast of the American state of Florida. A research team from the University of Utah has confirmed the discovery. The team said their results could lead to widespread production of the substance for use in cancer drugs. The researchers recently described their findings in a study in the publication Nature Chemical Biology. The use of natural substances to treat disease is not new. The U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, reports. Compounds from all kinds of organisms, including sea life, snakes, spiders, and other animals, have long been studied and tested as possible treatments for many health conditions. Since many corals stay in one place, they have developed chemical defenses to protect against other forms of sea life that could threaten them, NOAA reports. Scientists study such chemicals in an effort to find effective medical uses. But a major barrier to those efforts has been the difficulty of gathering enough of these compounds to carry out effective research. The chemical used in the latest study is called eleutherobin. It was discovered in soft corals near Australia. Scientists reported in the 1990s that the chemical had cancer-fighting properties. Researchers involved in the study said the chemical can play a part in breaking down important cell structures. It is used by soft corals as a defense against predators. But scientific studies have suggested the compound also shows promise in reducing cancer cell growth. The studies led scientists to keep searching for large amounts of the chemical that would be necessary to carry out additional testing and possibly develop new cancer drugs. But those efforts were unsuccessful for many years. Then a scientist working on the University of Utah team, Paul Sessa, found a soft coral in the ocean off the Florida coast that contained eleutherobin. The team sought to find out whether the corals made the chemical themselves or whether it was produced by symbiotic organisms living inside the corals. Sessa said in a statement it did not make sense to him that the compound would only be produced by other organisms. His team knew, for example, that some soft corals do not have symbiotic organisms, and yet their bodies contain the same collection of chemicals. To test their theory, the researchers attempted to find out how the corals were producing the compound. To do this, they needed to study the coral's genetic code to learn whether it included instructions on how to produce the chemical. This process is possible through modern methods for studying the DNA of organisms. DNA is present in nearly all living things and is the carrier of genetic information. The next step was difficult because the scientists did not know what the instructions for making the chemical should look like. But they reported they were able to identify parts of DNA in the coral that were very close to genetic instructions for similar compounds in other species. They were then able to provide those instructions to bacteria grown inside a laboratory. The team reported that the bacterial microorganisms were able to copy the first steps of making eleutherobin. This is the first time we have been able to do this with any drug lead on Earth, said lead researcher Eric Schmidt. He is a professor of medicinal chemistry at the University of Utah Health. The researchers say their experiments demonstrated that it should be possible to manufacture the chemical in the laboratory. This could lead to possible widespread production of new anti-cancer drugs. Sessa said he hopes to one day be able to hand over the medicine to a doctor. I think of it as going from the bottom of the ocean to bench to bedside, he said. I'm Brian Lynn.
Today on our national parks journey, we head to the far western part of Texas. The landscape here is severe. The Chisos Mountains rise from the desert. The Rio Grande River cuts deep into ancient limestone rock. Cactus plants flower under the intense sun. Welcome to Big Bend National Park. At first sight, Big Bend seems empty of life, but the park is home to many plants and animals. Over 450 kinds of birds can be found within the park, along with 75 mammal species and more than 50 kinds of reptiles. The park's diversity comes from its three different ecosystems. Within the park are mountain, desert, and river environments.
The Rio Grande sustains the park. The river starts high up in the Rocky Mountains. Melting mountain snow is its main source. It travels more than 3,000 kilometers on its way to the Gulf of Mexico. The river cuts through the dry Chihuahuan Desert. Big Bend National Park contains the northernmost part of this desert. It is the second largest desert in North America. Much of the desert is south of the border in Mexico. The Rio Grande serves as an international border between the United States and Mexico for about 1,600 kilometers. The park itself shares a border with Mexico for 189 kilometers. The Chihuahuan Desert is the largest ecosystem in the park. 80% of the park is desert. Animals like jackrabbits, roadrunner birds, and mule deer live in the Chihuahuan. Many cactus and yucca species thrive. These are succulent plants. Most succulents have thick, heavy leaves that store water. Cacti store water in their stems.
High up in the park's Chisos Mountains, you will find fir and pine trees, aspens and maples. Temperatures here are much cooler than down on the desert floor. The entire Chisos Mountain range exists within Big Bend. It is the only mountain range in the United States that is fully within a national park. Its highest mountains, Emery Peak and Lost Mine Peak, each rise more than 2,000 meters above the hot desert floor. The woodland environment in the mountains is home to black bears, mountain lions, and gray foxes. It is also home to many kinds of birds. Visitors are drawn to the park because of its rare and unique bird species. One of these is the Colima warbler. These small gray, yellow, and red birds arrive at Big Bend in the springtime to mate and nest. Then they return south to Mexico. In the late summer, mountain sage flowers appear. Hummingbirds, blue-throated, ruby-throated, magnificent, and Lucifer seek out these flowers.
Along with its plant and animal life, the park is also rich in cultural history. Archaeological records of humans in the area go back about 10,000 years, beginning with the prehistoric Paleo-Indians. Later on, the Chisos Indians lived here, as did the Comanche and Jumano people and other native groups. Spanish explorers began to arrive in the area in the 1500s. They were searching for gold and fertile land. They described this land as despoblado, or uninhabited. Much of what is now Big Bend National Park was Mexican territory until 1848. Mexican settlers farmed and raised animals here. In the early 1900s, many Anglo-Americans began settling in the area.
Big Bend became a national park on June 12, 1944. It covers more than 320,000 hectares. President Franklin D. Roosevelt established the park just 1 week after D-Day. That is the day American and British troops invaded Normandy, France. As America's attention centered on World War II, Roosevelt established a new national park for future generations to enjoy. For several years before the park was created, hundreds of men worked to build roads and trails to prepare the area for visitors. They built the 11-kilometer road that leads to the Chisos Mountains Basin. A basin is a large area of the Earth's surface that is lower than the area surrounding it. Today, the basin is a popular place within the park. Visitors can stay in the Chisos Mountain Lodge there or at campgrounds. Many of the park's hiking trails begin near the basin. One of the most popular is the Lost Mine Trail. It starts near the Chisos Mountain Lodge. The trail goes up sharply through forests of pine, juniper, and oak trees. The 8-kilometer-long hike passes by lookout points for viewing Casa Grande Peak, one of Texas's major mountains. Hikers can also enjoy a view into the park's Juniper Canyon.
More than 300,000 people visit Big Bend each year. Most come between November and April, when the weather is cooler. A favorite way to explore the park is by boat on the Rio Grande. Many tour operators organize rafting trips. Rafting trips take you through many kilometers of beautiful deep canyons. They may last half a day or several days. On longer trips, travelers sleep next to the river in tents. Another way to enjoy the Rio Grande is in its many hot springs. These are places where hot water flows up from underground. The water temperature is over 40 degrees Celsius. The river's hot springs are said to have healing properties. They hold mineral salts from the earth. Big Bend National Park has offered beauty, excitement, and recreational challenge to visitors for more than 80 years. It is a true treasure of Texas and the larger United States. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.